Blog Talk Radio.
Indeed, that's just the fire of God burning down deep inside of our souls. Praise the Lord and welcome to Fire, the gospel experience that is dedicated to honoring the true and only living creator God. Now is the time, beloved, to let our minds, bodies, and souls be renewed and refreshed in our relationship with our great, wonderful, and magnificent God, our Father, and, oh, yes, indeed, His precious and beautiful Son, our Prince of Peace, our wonderful Messiah and Savior, Jesus the Christ, right here on this fire gospel experience. Jesus the Christ is unashamedly, unapologetically, and unequivocally declared to be the only Redeemer, the only acceptable Lamb of God. He is the only chosen one, beloved, with the keys of life, death, hell, the grave, and to our beautiful eternal life. He's our only hope and light. for this lost, dark, and dying world that we're living in, but you best believe we do represent our Jesus very, very well. I'm your purpose and power-driven host, Ron E. Jefferson, and I'm here to bring you the most uplifting spiritual soul inspirations, as well as some of the most anointed gospel music that has ever been made and ever been played. Fire, the gospel experience will light, ignite, and fan those flames that's in your spirit, man, woman, boy, girl, so that you can be that victorious believer in Jesus the Christ, because God is not a respecter of persons, y'all. He's just looking for a humble heart to worship and fellowship with him in spirit and in truth. We will be in verses for your spiritual consideration and nutrition from the book of Romans, the 5th chapter, verses 21, where we read the Apostle Paul discusses how in our former life before our Christian conversion, how we allowed ourselves to experiment with so many different habits and lifestyles. But after conversion, we have come to the conclusion that it's always best to be led by God and not we ourselves. We must commit to let the ways and will of God reign over our new life. Amen. In Christ. Our new life in Christ. Yes, so we will be discussing for your spiritual consideration, let it rain. Not let it rain R-A-I-N, but let it rain R-E-I-G-N. Let God have his way. We're going to talk about that. My special guest is here. I am so excited to have this awesome man of God here with us to tell us about his life, his testimony, his accomplishments, former NFL player from 1990 until 2001. He is now a lawyer. He is my Alpha Phi Alpha fraternity brother, and he is the newly elected 4th District Division Judge-elect man of God, Jackie Harris, is here, and he's going to tell us his testimony. He's going to tell us about the many accomplishments he has had. He's going to tell us about what it was like playing in the NFL as a Christian man. Lord Jesus, I can't wait to hear that story. And how God has elevated him now to be the judge-elect for the 4th division of our particular county here in Arkansas. He's a native of Pine Bluff, Arkansas, alumni of Dalloway High School, and I know they're just so proud of him, as we all are. So we can't wait to hear this awesome man of God tell his story about life in Christ. And then later on in the broadcast, we will be shining our artist spotlight on a sister girlfriend of mine that I met so many years ago just by browsing through on Facebook, like I always do, for potential candidates to come on and be a blessing to this fire gospel experience platform. Woman of God, media personality, gospel artist, Shay Sams is here. She got new music, and she always brings some new life and a new testimony. So I'm just excited, y'all, to be here with y'all again, to be that light that God calls us to be and shine bright with you as you be a light as God calls you to be. We've already had prayer. Some real good heartfelt prayer. And we are so excited, Holy Spirit, that you are here with us to abide, to lead and guide, and to light the fuse that's about to set the internet and the radio airwaves on Holy Ghost sanctified fire, fire, fire. this, my God, you best be ready, 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 ready. Saw the man of God, Little Rock, Arkansas, very own Leo Preston is encouraging you, 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 and yes, you too, to be ready, because just when you think not will be the time, the Bible declares that Jesus will make his return visit back to earth. Amen. And you best believe, too, he's not coming back as that meek and mild lamb that he was. He's coming back as the Lion of Judah to reclaim the earth for God. And those who believe as his disciples, willing subjects, to rule with him in the kingdom of God on earth. So I'm compelling everybody listening to the sound of my voice right now. Make sure you are willing. And like the scripture declares about the 10 wise virgins, make sure that your lamps are trimmed and burning. If you don't know what that means, just keep listening, because I'm sure I have one broadcast one day where we're going to talk about the 10 wise virgins and the 10 foolish. You don't want to be foolish when it comes to your eternal state. My special guest is here, wonderful man of God, such a pleasant demeanor about himself, has achieved so much success, and I'm happy to say it didn't mess him up. It didn't go to his head. Yes, indeed. You best believe, man of God was at one point in time, as I stated, an NFL professional football player from 1990 until 2001 when I was in Detroit. I remember watching this big old tight end for the Green Bay Packers running all over my boys, the Detroit Lions, but he was also City of 34, City of Rule. He also was a county attorney for Jefferson County 2013 to 2018. He is now presently partnered with Kissick and Associates Law Firm. He studied at law at UALR, which is University of Little Rock, University of Arkansas at Little Rock. All these letters all over the place. UALR. And then he's an alumni as well at Dalloway High School. So he is just a proud patron resident of our Pine Bluff, Arkansas, and he is also the judge-elect for the 4th Division Circuit Court of Jefferson and Lincoln Counties. He has just been awarded that wonderful position. So he has so many pages in life where he has turned the page and found success. But listen, I'm here to tell you, and I believe he's going to tell it better than I could, that he's had his trials, his testimonies as a believer in God. And so now, without any further ado, my pleasure to introduce to some and to present to everyone else, my dear brother in Christ, my dear brother fraternally in Alpha Phi Alpha, man of God, Jackie Harris is here on Fire in the Gospel. Welcome, 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 my dear brother Jackie Harris, man of God. How are you doing today? Happy Father's Day to you.
Well, thank you, and happy Father's Day to you as well. Good afternoon, Brother Ron. It's certainly a pleasure to be here with you today.
Amen. It is a pleasure. We are excited to have you here. I believe, without a doubt, in all my years of broadcasting, I believe since about 2014, I'm coming up on my 8th year of broadcasting, you are the first professional athlete that I've heard the pleasure of interviewing, as well as a man of God. So that you have set a precedent, and I'm looking forward to having others that have achieved the great success that you have, Brother Jackie, to follow through with us. There's so much that I'm looking forward to talking about, but what I'd like for you to do right now, good brother, is just, why don't you just introduce yourself to the listening audience from whatever point and season in life you'd like to start and share.
Sure, sure. Thanks again, Brother Ron, for having me on. You know, as you stated in the introduction, my name is Jackie Harris. I'm a lifelong resident of the city of Pine Bluff, Arkansas. Grew up here, and after left and went to college down in Louisiana, was fortunate enough to be drafted by the Green Bay Packers initially into the NFL in 1990. And ended up playing for Green Bay, Tampa Bay, Tennessee, and then retired in Dallas as a Dallas Cowboy in 2001. And
okay.
Yeah, really came back here. I know that there was certainly one of the things that really, you know, drew me back was just the need for, you know, someone to really, you know, be a positive model, an example for some of our young people. You know, we didn't have enough of that here because most people, when they got to the place where they had grown up and received an education, they would move on to greener pastures, so to speak. But my heart was,
yes, sir,
was always here. It was always to be here, and that's where I am. As you mentioned before, you know, proud graduate of Dalloway High School. Certainly, there's a strong bond there. I'm also a graduate of the University of Arkansas Pine Bluff here. So
okay.
I am Pine Bluff, you know, through and through, and excited
through
about being here and excited about the next chapter of what God is doing.
Amen, amen. I'm going to tell you something, Brother Jackie. It's interesting the dynamics between city folks and country folks because I'm a redhead country boy that was born here in Pine Bluff, Arkansas. And I believe I have a few years on you because my great-grandfather, Doc Gillard, he had a store home right there on Harding, I'm going to say at Harding and Ash Street where I was born. I was born in that house back in 1960 when was the last year that you could legally have a baby outside of the hospital because we had midwives back in those days. And as
sure.
a little redhead country boy running up and down Harding, it was a brown dirt road when I left. When I was taken to Detroit and lived 40 years of my life. Harding was a brown dirt road, and when you looked east, all you saw was cornfields and tall grass. You didn't see none of those stores and none of those traffic lights that we have down there now. So the interesting part about what I'm sharing with you now is that even with only 6 years of growing up in the South, in Arkansas, in the country, all those years I was in Detroit, Jackie, I never forgot who I was. A little redhead country boy that grew up running through grass that was taller than me, picking up crickets and grasshoppers and anything I could that stayed with me. So I'm sharing that because as a country boy growing up in Pine Bluff, what was it like for you going to all these different big cities when you finally graduated from college and was an NFL player? What was that like? Was that a bit of a culture shock for you?
You know, it was really exciting, actually. One of the things, you know, growing up, because, you know, my neighborhood, I grew up on the west side of town. And so, you know, we had one vehicle in the family, and my mother worked, so she would drive to work. And so, you know, the only way that we would move around, we walked everywhere. And so, you know, you're pretty limited
yeah.
in what you can see and what you can experience. When you grow up like that. Now, I wouldn't trade growing up the way that I did for anything, but there are limitations.
Mm-hmm.
And so when, you know, Green Bay is not a big city, and so that was the first, you know, NFL city that I went to, and it was a bit of a culture shock because it was so different. Number one, I'd been born, raised,
right.
and, you know, went to college in the South, and then going up north the first time, you know, it was the first time that I didn't see leaves falling most of the winter, but leaves seemed like they fell off the tree in 2 weeks. And, you know, people were raking the yards out on the curb, and the machine would come by and backing
yeah.
it up. And the next thing you know, there was snow everywhere. But then moving to Tampa was a city. It's not a big city, but it was more of a city than I had experienced. It's a little bit different, but it was exciting to have an opportunity to experience those different things. I like the feel of a city, but I'm at home in the country.
Amen, amen. Did you have a hard time when you ran up against some of those city slick NFL players that grew up in the fast lanes of the big city. Was it a challenge for you, or did you find that somewhat entertaining as well?
You know, it was more entertainment than anything else, because again, well, I say again, you know, we had this discussion earlier. You know, I came to know the Lord in the early age, and for me that was very grounding. My upbringing, yes, it was very grounding, and I was confident in who I was. So I didn't really have those questions about comparing myself to people from different regions of the country, people who had different experiences. I was okay being me. I've always been comfortable in my own skin. It was interesting to see some of the things that they would do and things that they would say. But yeah, that wasn't for me at all. It was just part of you know, God's plan for, you know, things that I would see and experience, and certainly use that to try to grow closer to Him day by day.
Absolutely. I'm going to tell you, Brother Jackie, the reason that I'm bringing this up is because sometimes if we are not committed and content and grounded in who we are in our Christian faith, we can be somewhat, I'm going to say, swayed and influenced away from knowing who we are. I am so glad to hear you say that in spite of all of the different potentials, exposures, opportunities, and influences there, that you were a stable man in Christ. And that is refreshing to hear, because sometimes we as Christians, if we're not fully committed to being who we are in Christ, sometimes we may feel the need to try to compromise who we are just for the sake of trying to get along with the people that we maybe have to work with, be with, or even be in relationship with. And sometimes that goes for family members as well. So I'm really proud to know and to hear you speak about what it's like, because for men in particular, by us having the responsibility of leadership, being the primary provider and protectors, we're not in a position, Brother Jackie, where we can afford to compromise.
I agree wholeheartedly. And I think, you know, a part of that, again, was instilled in me, you know, in my teenage years, is having a sense of responsibility. You know, there's always responsibilities that go with wanting to be grown up, so to speak, and having a strong sense of who you are. I, you know, that is solely due to my mother. She was, you know, not a woman of many words, but you know, she made clear what the expectations were, and she made clear that if you didn't meet those expectations, there would be consequences. And so that message was instilled in me early on, and it really helped to keep me grounded.
Amen. That's good to hear. I'm glad to hear that. Now, also, too, I did mention that, you know, you went to law school. What was it about law that kind of got your attention and attraction to the point where you wanted to pursue that as a lifetime profession? Tell us about the pull of being an advisor and a wise counselor in the field of law that set the wonderful platform for the life that you're living now.
Okay, great. Yeah, so you know, after I retired, you know, I had come back home and had coached for a year, and one of the things that you know, I had at that point, I had not completed my undergraduate degree. I was in my last semester in college. The NFL was very different in 1989 than it is today. I traveled a lot, and so I was traveling to the various teams, going to do workouts, going to do physicals, going to do aptitude tests, those types of things, and I missed a lot of class. And so one of my professors says, "Hey, you know, if you're going to be traveling, he says, you know, you should probably just drop out this semester so that you don't fail the semester and create an academic situation for yourself." And that's what I did. So I actually dropped out of school that last semester and did not complete my undergraduate degree. Went on to the NFL to play. Didn't go back to school. After I retired, I was having a conversation with my mom, and she said, "Well, hey, there's, you got no excuse now. You're not busy, not as busy as you were." Now would be the best time to go back, and I agreed. And when I went back, it's a good friend of mine who is a circuit court judge Ernest Brown. Invited me to a law school. It was the Black Law Students Association at the University of Arkansas. They were having a meet and greet in his office, and I went and met with the dean of the law school at that point, and that's when I really began to seriously start to think about law school. My primary point in finishing my purpose was my primary purpose in finishing my undergraduate degree was so that I could go back to coaching. And never made it back to coaching. Ended up being accepted into both law schools here in Arkansas, and ultimately end up choosing UALR's Bowen School of Law because it was closer and I didn't have to displace my family. We had done that enough, over the course of my playing career, and so that was the decision, and that was how I ended up pursuing a career in law. I've always felt a desire to want to help people, and that was a way that I felt that I could really help people in the community by advocating on their behalf.
What I have just pictured in my mind, I can see the footsteps in the sand of your life, starting with your mother. You said you had that conversation with your mother about going back to college. She said you didn't have no excuse. We can always leave it up to mom to tell it like it is. You said she was a woman of a few words, so I'm sure that the few words that she shared carried some weight with it. But, Brother Jackie, what I'm seeing and hearing just from you telling your story, as you were able to maintain your identity as a national football player, having grown up with a structured family and a mother that I'm gonna say gave you the necessary direction and guidance that you needed to be a successful man, and then here's your acceptance of Jesus Christ as your personal savior. What I've seen and what I'm hearing you share your story is that you developed a desire to just do the right thing. That became a part of who you are. And so when the opportunity or the doors of law and the legal pursuit of it came into your reach, it just kind of appealed to your spirit and your soul. And I'm sharing all of that, brother, because if I'm correct, maybe you can highlight a little bit more about how you were being pulled into that direction, because there are a lot of people out there that are still wondering, what is it that I can do that will have some substance and some meaning? Is that correct? Did I kind of connect the dots?
No, I think absolutely. One of the things that, and I really can't explain, how it came to be, but as a young man, and I say a young man, a young teenager, one of the things that I really, was in tune with, I didn't really know, how to relate to God the way that I do, as a more seasoned adult. But I would always feel his calling, his presence. There was always a sense of, God, encouraging me in this area or in that area. And that's what I followed. And I think that was really, learning to hear and not second guess, what I felt, God's spirit telling me, was how I, pursued, playing professional football. It was how I pursued, being in the law. It's being in tune with those things that, God gives us. We're born with certain inclinations, certain gifts and abilities, and it's up to us to develop those gifts. Too often we think about gifts from the standpoint of either athletic or entertainment gifts, but you don't have to be an athlete or an entertainer, number one, to give glory to God, live a life that glorifies God, and also do something that you enjoy. I can't tell you the number of people who misunderstand God, thinking that, you know, when you follow God, then you don't get to have fun. Man, I can, I have had as much fun in my life as I can imagine. You know, I have enjoyed things, have played football in countries that I've never dreamed of visiting. I have had the opportunity to help people, in the legal profession, advise cities, advise counties, advise, corporations, help them to work through difficult situations and individuals and families and do those things. Yeah. And that has always been that overwhelming desire, is to benefit someone other than myself. It's to be of service to someone in the community that I live in.
Amen. And that really is walking in the footsteps of our Lord Jesus the Christ, because he was all about being a servant and being a solution to the problems that whatever he encountered. So that is that Christ-like spirit that we are called to pretty much advertise and make known to the world. See, it's one thing to go to church, Brother Jackie, but if we don't exercise the gifts and the callings and the leadings and the promptings of God outside of the church world, then we are not that bright and shining light that God calls us to be. Now, after the music break, good brother, I want you to share with us how a happily married man and wife that you and your beautiful wife, Latrice Harris, has been able to enjoy 29 years of marriage this past May. We're going to talk about relationships between a man and a woman, what it takes to maintain that peace and that joy, and to keep the love, the peace, and the joy flowing between a husband and wife. Because I'm so sick and tired of people talking about marriage as just a piece of paper. They truly, truly missed the point of what marriage is all about. And I'm going to ask you to speak a little bit about it from your experience as a married man for 29 years. Congratulations, good brother, because, you know, that's an accomplishment that a lot of people, there's people that's not even, have not lived that long, and you've been married that long. So we congratulate you on that right there. So thank you, thank you, thank you. Hold your thought. You tuned in to Fire, the Gospel Experience, with my special guest, man of God, Jackie Harris, is here to share with us the blessings that God has given him. Don't you know that there is a song that just speaks to my heart that was sent to me? Woo! By man of God, Jason Nation, from gospel artist Samaria Kelly, which says, God, yes, we're going to talk about Romans 5:21, where it says, let it not rain in you, talking about those natural propensities and proclivities that we have, but we are going to say, God, I want your grace to reign over me. And what woman of God, Samaria Kelly, is going to sing about, she's going to say, as long as I have breath, I want God to reign over my life. Lord, have mercy. That's all right.
You are listening to Fire, the gospel explosion where the praises are going up and the worries are going away. Playing for you the best and the newest gospel music on the planet and the most inspiring encouragement under God's heaven. Keep tuning in and bless your family, your friends, and your coworkers by telling them about Fire.
Yes, indeed. Fire, 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 the gospel experience. And we are here for your spiritual edification all the while we give God his just due praise, his honor, his glory, not just with our lips, but with the daily activity of our lives. Being a Christian is not just something we do on Sundays and then every now and then Bible study and Sunday school. No, it is a way of life that we are committed to live a life from the inside out, meaning from the spirit person that we are, that is being transformed with a renewed mind daily, based upon the written word of God. The principles in the Bible is what we mean when we say we live this life for Christ. Definitely want to give a shout out and congratulations to all of my fathers out there on this celebrated Father's Day. I just want you good brothers to know how much I appreciate the fact that you are willing to stand up in your right place. We are happy and blessed to be loved and loved as a saved and sanctified, born-again man of God on this Father's Day. So you all keep doing what you're doing, talking to all of my friends, families, and brothers. Blessings be upon you all. Wishing you all the best life, love, and happiness on another Father's Day celebration. I want you to know for all your commitment, dedication, thoughtfulness, kindness, wisdom, and for being there wherever and whenever you are needed and called upon. You have much love, respect, and you're in my prayers, and I thank y'all for just representing, because sometimes us brothers, us men, us black men, sometimes we get shot down because, unfortunately, Brother Jackie, there are some brothers out there that's not in their rightful place. That's why it is just so incumbent for us that know to do right and that are doing right to take our rightful place in our homes, in our personal lives, in our workplace, church place, and society at large. So, man of God, is there any words of encouragement that you'd like to share with the fathers out there on Father's Day?
You know, it is certainly a special day of celebration, but I also like to use it as a day of reminding that being a father is not an event. It is certainly a responsibility where, you know, we need to stay engaged and keep our, you know, leading right. hand, our guiding hand on our children. You know, too often we That's see right. Young people that appear to not have found the way. And I think that's the role yeah. of a father, certainly towards his children, is to help them find their way. If a father mm. does that, I think when we start to see that, we start to see a more kind and loving community. And so I just want to encourage the fathers to stay engaged with your children and keep your hand of guidance on them and lead them in the right way.
Amen, amen. I'm going to tell you something that always kind of disturbed me, Brother Jack, and it seems a little bit harsh, but kind of gives me the feeling that this came from a stern state of mind from the people that said it. I would hear people say, you know, I'm their father. I'm not their friend. I'm their parent. And I said to myself, well, you know what? I'm going to educate my children. I'm going to lead and guide them. I'm going to demonstrate to them. I'm going to discipline them and correct them. And guess what? I can be their friend, too. Do you have any thoughts about that? Have you heard that saying?
I have. You know, it's funny you mentioned that. That never occurred to me, to be honest with you. I think it never occurred to me to be, and I have three sons. Who are all adults.
Okay.
It never occurred to me to be their friend. Our relationship has always been friendly. I never sought to be to play the role of a friend in any of my son's life, because I was
okay.
I was so determined to lead them, to guide them, and really to give them the best chance at success. But I didn't go around, you know, barking orders either. I think the
right,
one
right.
thing is really communicating to them what the expectation is. Give you an example. Mm. One of the things that I would always tell my sons when they were in high school, you know, your job is to do well in school. My job is to take care of everything else. And you do your job,
okay.
and I'll keep doing my job. And
yes,
so,
sir.
You know, as they have become men, you know, I think the friendship have started to develop with my
mm-hmm.
sons now. But while they were in my household, I just felt the responsibility greater than friendship. And I didn't
uh-huh.
abuse my position as father, though, to try to
okay.
make that point.
Mm. I always kind of took it like this, Brother Jackie, that people that had this feeling that, you know, hey, I'm their father and not their friend, I always assumed that they were thinking you couldn't have both. It was going to either be one or the other. So if I decide to be your friend, that
sure.
means that's going to compromise my ability to be your father. But in my mind, I was blessed with five beautiful queens, five beautiful daughters, right? And so
mm-hmm.
it became incumbent on me to, yes, I'm your father, I'm your provider, I'm your protector. But there are some things that I want you to feel confident enough to be able to come to me and talk to me, disclose to me, share with me, open up to me anything that you need to come and talk to someone about. I want to be the first one. So I prepared a landscape of, like you said, friendliness, so that a friendship could establish that never compromised my ability to be their father. So I
sure.
just wanted to share that, because my thinking is that there can be a happy medium and that there can be a happy balance. And I believe our children will respect us as long as they know that they are loved, as long as they are provided for, and as long as we continue to give them a stable demonstration of what a real man
yeah.
is, because our sons need to see that so that they can be that, and our daughters need to see that so that they can know that when they make a decision and a choice, they have a beautiful reference based upon us as the fathers. Amen?
Amen, and I agree with that. I don't think that there's a one-size-fits-all. I think it would be presumptuous,
right.
you know, to think that, you know, even if you had sons and I had sons, that what works in my house would work in your house. I think that's the joy
yes,
of parenting,
sir.
Is you get to mm-hmm. experience all of the personalities and develop those relationships without crushing their personalities, because I think it is important
mm.
to have that opportunity to have your children talk to you, because if they're not talking to you, they're going to be talking to someone. And
ooh,
I agree
Lord,
wholeheartedly
yeah.
with you from that perspective, that you have to keep that door open so that they can
mm.
know to come and talk to you and know that they can confide in you and
yes.
get direction. And not just someone who is going to, you know, co-sign on whatever it is that they're dealing with.
Amen. Amen. Trust is such a huge ingredient in all relationships. And what I see in fatherhood is really just symbolic of eventually them seeing the qualities of a loving father in us, so that they'll be able to relate that to the God that we are going to point them to eventually. They can use us as a human representative of our Creator God, so that they can establish that relationship themselves, so that they will be able to freely go to God in communication, knowing that they won't be harshly judged, forsaken, abused, or anything like that. Now, you said something that was very interesting. You talk about different personalities. And when we're talking about marriage, Brother Jackie, oh, boy, You talk about two grown individuals coming together in the pursuit of this oneness that the marriage vows talk about. Talk about come hell or high water, bankruptcy, sickness, or anything that will come to this man and this woman, this husband and his wife, but let nothing come between them. But yet and still, we see such high divorce rates. I have unfortunately been, I guess you could say, a casualty of divorce as well. But I'm happy to hear about the longevity of your 29-year marriage. And would you have any words to say to the skeptic of marriage before you go into the strength and the highlights and the joys of marriage that says marriage is just a piece of paper? What would you say to somebody like that after being married for 29 years?
Well, I think people have the wrong understanding of what a marriage is. And when you look at it, I think from some standpoint, yeah, you know, we can, you could say that is a marriage. It's a formally recognized union, being formally recognized on a piece of paper. But I mean, you know, so is an exam in schools. I mean, you can, you know, you don't intend to have a lifelong relationship with a bunch of test questions. You know, I think what we have to really look to is the spirit of what a marriage is, and not just, you know, legally what it is. When you talk about preserving relationships and building relationships and maintaining relationships, marriage is far more than just a piece of paper. Marriage is,
yes, sir,
you know, how we, it's the gateway to building strong families. It is, you know, the gateway to building a productive, you know, productive children, you know, to go into society and make our societies better. You know, we have the ability to create, you know, the society we want through the family, period, full stop.
Amen.
And if we do that, it's not an issue on some of the hot button. It's not a topic, hot button topic, as we think it is. I think most, if not all, of our issues in society today come down to this one thing, and that is love for each other. If we were to be serious about having love for each other. And you know, there are various types of relationships, and so the word love there's a spectrum. Love is not just one thing. Love is on a continuum. It's on a spectrum. Because I don't, you know, I love my wife in a different way than I love my golfing buddy. But it doesn't mean that I don't love them both. And so,
yes, sir.
You know, we really need to get back to some of the foundational things that you know we find in scripture. We make things harder because we take on too many of the ways of the world, and it's our responsibility as believers, the church, it's our responsibility to be the light. We're looking to the world and their programs. The programs don't work. They just don't. The word
does. Sir.
So
yes, sir.
I know I've gotten off off of the topic of marriage, but marriage is far more than just a piece of paper. Like I said, it has just been the way for me to understand, you know, how to become a better man. Understanding that it's not always my way or the highway, and that compromise
That's
is not
right.
a bad thing. You know,
no, it's not.
And so when we begin to understand how to engage, how to have those relationships, that spills over into the community.
It does. We have to stop looking at compromise as a loss and an intelligent, mutually beneficial compromise is a plus. It is a bonus. I'm going to say this, Brother Jack, and I want you to share your thoughts. I think that one of the reasons that there's such a divorce high rate of divorces that you have people that are not even qualified for marriage getting married. If you have a single-minded mentality, your marriage is failed as soon as you get through jumping over the broom. Because your mindset is still going to be, I'm going to do what I want to do. And you said it yourself. You said it yourself. It said if we would learn to love one another, and even the scriptures tell us, it says Jesus replied, I'm reading from the book of Matthew, the 22nd chapter, where it says in verse 37, Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. So if a potential husband and wife and man and woman does not love the Lord their God with all their heart and with all their soul and with all their mind, they're going into it on their own human merit. And then this is the first and greatest commandment, and the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. I think we confuse love with lust, good brother. We get involved sexually in these relationships. We'll call it love and think that that's a basis for a lasting relationship when it's really just flesh-driven and it's lust. And we don't understand that love is I'm going to sacrifice myself willingly for the good of this spouse of mine or this spouse-to-be so that together we will both be blessed. Because now I'm living with a person that sees I am willing to give them my utmost best, which motivates and inspires them to do the same. So as long as I'm blessing you, that blesses the other person. And you know the old saying, if you like it, I'll love it.
Absolutely. I think, too, one of the great joys, you know, of, you know, going, you've got two people, two personalities, sometimes two different states of mind, sometimes, you know, not so different. But you know, we don't take the time, you know, too often. Let me just say that. Too often we don't take the time to really understand who we are, and then we're trying to be something for someone else. And we really don't even have the correct definition of that. But that goes
That's
back
true.
To modeling. You know, when we think about, you know, as a, you know, a husband and wife, and what are you modeling before your children? And if you're single and you have a child, I mean, that doesn't mean that you can't be a good parent. You know, my mother had to ultimately raise her child, her children. And there were six of us who, after she lost her husband at an early age, you know, she was left with six children to raise still. And so, you know, being a single mom is not a disqualifier for being able to raise a healthy family. So when we talk about it in the context of marriage, seeing those things modeled, you know, and I go back and I learned valuable lessons, you know, didn't realize, you know, what I didn't have when I was growing up. I thank God for that. And not having a father because he had passed away. I thank God for that because I didn't grow up bitter, didn't grow up angry. You know, don't think I had daddy issues, you know. But it was until I got to college and I had a really good friend whose parents were, man, they were super. And they took us in and took me in and treated me, you know, no different from their own.
Beautiful.
And I got a chance to see what it looked like for, you know, a husband and wife and how they related to one another. You know, that helped me. And this was well before I got married, but I never forgot that. And so those are the things that I started to say that these are the things that I want, you know, my children to see. I want them to see that, number one, and this is one thing, it's interesting fact, you know, we talked my children have seen me and my wife disagree, but they've never seen us yelling, you know, at one another. I think one of the mistakes is people try to shield their children from conflict in the relationship. But I always looked at it as an opportunity for them to see not only how conflict can occur, but also how to get it resolved. The problem we have now is we don't have young people who know how to resolve conflict. Because they've never seen it resolve peacefully without it being a zero-sum game. You win, I lose, I win, you lose kind of a situation. And so those things happen in marriage, and those were the things that were important for me to be able to show my son, you know, and I'm grateful, you know, to, you know, my wife, Latrice, who has just been a really solid partner in not only raising our children, but, us taking this journey of marriage. It takes work, but so does everything else.
Yeah.
It takes commitment, and so does anything else worthwhile. But it is definitely worth it.
Well, I'm gonna tell you something. What you just described and what you demonstrated with your life is just real life in Christendom. Not wearing a masquerade or falsetto in your own home. It's okay, like you said, to let our family members and our children see the different dynamics of family life as Christians in all of this, I guess you could say, so-called glory, because that's real life. They won't be so shocked when they see it happening in their lives. They can reflect back and say, you know what, I'm familiar with this because I've seen the situation, and I've also, like you so eloquently put it, I've seen it, the remedies and the solutions that go with the issues and the circumstances as well. Now, before we let you get out of here, man of God, Jackie Harris, you have been elected to this wonderful position as 4th Division Circuit Court for Lincoln County and Jefferson County as judge. And can you share with us how meaningful that is to you so that you can carry out everything that we've discussed and take that into the courtroom?
Wow. You know, I am super excited about what God is doing. You know, sometimes we begin to think that God is finished with us at a certain point in time. And, you know, if God blesses us one time, then we think that, well, that's enough, you know. And it's true. Now, anyway, you bless me, I'll be satisfied. But, Lord, I want to be of use in the community that you place me. I want to have that as long as I have the ability to do that. And so this opportunity for me, I think, is an opportunity for, you know, the people in Lincoln and Jefferson County, people that have, I've encountered, they know me, and, you know, what you see is what you get. And I want to be fair with everybody. That's the way I want to do it. Isaiah 11,
yes,
man, just really was just so strong in my spirit, man. I want to read that to you. This is the kind of judge that I hope to be, you know, is the kind of judge that Isaiah talks about in Isaiah 11. And beginning at verse 2, it says, and the Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and of might, the spirit of knowledge and fear of the Lord. And he will delight in the fear of the Lord. Watch this. He will not judge by what he sees with his eyes or decide by what he hears with his ears, but with righteousness. He will judge the needy with justice. He will give decisions for the poor of the earth. That's really, you know, my prayer is that, you know, God continue to lead and guide me, and he's done it all my life. He has been a protector and a keeper of me, and every time, you know, you ascend to a different area, you know, you just hope that you know, you continue to honor God in how you serve. And so if I'm going to do this as unto the Lord, then I need to be that kind of a judge. And that is certainly what drives me. That's my motivation as I serve the people of Jefferson and Lincoln County.
Amen. Now, let me ask you one last question. Did you ever in your legal-minded imagination think that your law career would lead you to the bench?
You know, I guess this is a perfect way to end. Yes, I, again, when you trust the Spirit of God, So as a young boy, I had never played football, but it just I couldn't shake the feeling that one day I was gonna wear I was not only just wear but play professional football. And as I got into the legal profession, as much as I said, well, you know, that's not something that necessarily I want to be doing the first couple of years of my life. It certainly, I couldn't get away from the thought of, you know, ultimately one day sitting on the bench. And it really is okay. Kind of the theory or the theme for a writing project that I've started and hope to get finished by before the end of the year, get it released towards the end of the year before I go on to the bench. But it deals with that journey from the playing field to the bench, so to speak. It deals with,
amen,
you know, the journey that God has taken me from and so taken me through. And I just trust that, you know, when it's completed, it'll certainly be a blessing to those that read it.
Now, can I share with you some irony that Holy Spirit God just dropped in my spirit, Brother Jackie?
Go right ahead, brother.
Here you are, former professional football player, who resisted, and the last thing that you ever would have wanted was to sit on the bench. But now here you are as a judge-elect, where now life has come, I guess you could say, full cycle for you, where now you have nothing but pride with the expectation to sit on this particular bench. So how about that for irony?
Yeah, that's how God works.
That's how God works. Man of God, we thank you so much. I want you to know that my prayer for you is that God's wisdom, his knowledge, his insight for you will be magnified, not just in your new position as judge for the 4th Division of Circuit Court for Jefferson and Lincoln County, but for your personal life, that knowledge, wisdom, and the effervescent joy of the Lord will continue to vibrate through you, through your family life, through your church service, through your dedication to God is my prayer for you. I want you to know you have an open door policy. Anytime you'd like to speak to the people on this platform, all you have to do is just get in touch with me, and I'd be more than happy to have you be my return special guest on Fire the Gospel Experience.
Brother Ron, I certainly appreciate having an opportunity just to share, and thank you for what you're doing, man, and pray God's continued blessing on your program.
Amen. I received that, and good brother, you enjoy the rest of your day. You be blessed, and please stay in touch, because I believe that our city, Pine Bluff, is in a rebirth mode, and that we have the potential with the beautiful people that are here, contributors, that we can retake our city for good and make this a beautiful place for our family, for our loved ones, for us to live in and one day retire, knowing that we've left this city in good hands so that the generations after us can have a city to live in that they can be proud of. I appreciate you, good brother. God bless you. Thank you for being with us today.
Amen. My pleasure.
Amen. Man of God, he is former NFL player, lawyer, Alpha Phi Alpha fraternity brother, and judge-elect for the 4th Division Circuit Court of Jefferson and Lincoln Counties. Man of God, Jackie Hayes was right here with the fire. There it is. Yes. It's sort of like when I was a young man growing up in Detroit. It seemed like every time Detroit hit the news, it was always something negative, always something dire and drastic. Seemed like there was not a whole lot of good out of Detroit. And unfortunately, it seems like it's somewhat like that, too, for this city of less than 50,000 people of Pine Bluff. But I'm here to tell you as a witness, as I continue to bring these blessed people on, there are wonderful people here. There are saved people here in Pine Bluff, Arkansas. And I'm sure that that's not so unique. A lot of cities that may be majority of African American born people may have the same issue, because we have issues in our urban communities and our majority African American born communities where we have issues that are somewhat distinct because of our past relationships and how there's systemic racism, poverty, economic deprivation, and lack of education have contributed to atmospheres where some of us have not yet fully matured to be able to overcome, but fell victim and prey to street mentalities, gang mentalities, and criminal activities. So guess what? It's up to us who know God and trust in doing the right thing to be examples and have the faith and courage to be able to be present to hopefully be that individual that can plant a seed in somebody's heart, mind, and soul to do better and to live better. And more importantly, y'all, to trust God. Amen. Goes right there. I'm going to pull out this big old artist spotlight and shine it on a beautiful soul of mine, woman of God. Shay Sams is going to be here. We're going to play her music. She's going to give us some inspiring words. She's going to tell us about all the beautiful things that God is doing in her life, because look, she got it going on, y'all. And I'm happy to have her here with us. But right now, here's man of God, Samuel Miracle Brown, with some crazy praise, because we get crazy with our praise on fire, the gospel experience. Yes, we do. I thought you knew.
Are y'all ready?
Woo!
Give Jesus a crazy praise in this house, for he is worthy to be praised. One, two.
Let's go crazy.
We're having fun.
letting our hair down for Jesus. We just sweating all the perm up out of our head, getting our praise on right here on this fire gospel experience. Sounds like man of God, Samuel Miracle Brown. And if you want to see a dressing, brother, I'm talking about with sparkles and with all kind of stuff going on, y'all need to just watch my man, Samuel Miracle Brown, because he could put on a fashion show all by his cool, sanctified self. I had the pleasure of meeting him a couple years ago down there at the awards, the Spin Awards, for people such as myself that do broadcasting and all other type things behind the scenes. Man, that brother was dressed so sharp. I was like, man, I don't know who he is, but I need to go get his autograph. Found out it was Samuel Miracle Brown on this fire gospel experience, giving up some crazy praise. Bible says David got so crazy with his praise, clothes just stopped falling off. He was twisting, turning, and flipping, thanking God for all of his goodness. And that's the exuberance sometimes that we have. We are into our shine artist spotlight. And this wonderful young lady I had the pleasure of meeting many, many years ago on Facebook. I actually got a chance to meet her a couple years ago at that very same Spin Awards a couple years ago down there in the suburbs of Atlanta. And woo! I'm so proud of her. She is doing her thing big, and here she is right here. We got some new music for her. That's why we're going to shine this artist spotlight on her. But right now, I'm just going to have a real quick Shea Sam mini concert, and it's a beautiful thing. Ain't that right, Sister Shea? It's beautiful. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. I'm here to tell y'all that we serve a God sometimes, man, because of our past, because of the things that we've said to ourselves, and maybe because of some of the things that other people have said to us, we may not have felt too good about ourselves. I can recall days and times when I looked in the mirror, and I really did not see anything in me that pleased me. I had reached low points in my life, but don't you know that when we put our trust and confidence in God's ability to not only transform our lives, but transform the way that we even see ourselves, we can see something beautiful in us, about us. It's because the relationship that we have has transformed how we see ourselves. And yes, woman of God, Shay Sam, that is beautiful. She is radio personality at Beyond the Radio co-host. She is owner and CEO at Let's Talk Business Consulting Group, as well as the host for The Red Room at Positive Power 21 Production. She is, of course, recording artist, performer, songwriter at Beyond Defense Entertainment. And I'm here to tell you, she is all of that. She is Gospel Choice Award for 2017 and International ABGMA Antiqua Award recipient for 2020. She is accomplished. She is here to share with us all of the good things that God has done for her life, because I'm here to tell you, she's had her challenges as well, and she has become more than a conqueror. Without any further ado, we shine our spotlight on Woman of God, Shay Sam, on Fire, the Gospel Choir.
Shay Sam's is in the building. I'm in the building.
What?
I'm in the building. Happy Father's Day.
Thank you, my dear. Bless you, bless you, bless you. I receive all of those Father's Day well wishes and blessings from you and everyone else that's been so kind to share that with me. Thank you, thank you. I'm just so proud of you, Shay Sam. I'm just excited.
Thank
every time
you.
I look up, girl, you reach a whole nother level of success. Because, listen, I do know some of your story. And see, people always, they see our glory, but what's the saying? But they don't know our story.
Yeah,
why don't you just share a little bit about Shay Sam and who you are, so that my listeners can appreciate who you are. And then, I know this is just shining out a spotlight. It's just an icebreaker for those that don't know, and a refresher for those that do know who you are. But you know, you're always welcome to come back and sit down, and we can have that full-length interview. But tell the listeners a little bit about yourself.
Yes, yes, sir. Yes, sir. Well, like you said, my name is Shay Samuels, and you kind of gave a snippet of everything that I've done. But I'm a very simple individual. I love God. I love people. I love helping people identify with purpose. I'm an entrepreneur at heart, just natural. It's just been natural for me to just help people grow. And I'm someone that just really, really loves to thrive in life. I mean, that's what most people see of me, Brother Ron, is that I'm thriving in life, just because that's a passion for me to
yeah.
do. I don't know why I do it. I'm like the caterpillar that turns into the butterfly. Just one day it has to happen.
That's
so,
right. That's right.
You know, just a simple individual. Shout out to my family in Wilmington, Delaware, probably listening, but from Wilmington, Delaware,
what?
Small town, Wilmington, Delaware. And yeah, that's just me. That's me.
Yeah, but listen, there is a connection that I have with Wilmington, Delaware, and that's the Wilmington, Delaware Mass Choir. Woo! You talk about a choir that can sing you happy. You talk about a choir that can sing you happy.
Well, I guess that would be like shout out to Tracy
now.
Shy.
All right, that's what's up. I'm trying to tell you. It's beautiful people that God has planted all over the place, and I love seeing how the dots are being connected as we draw closer to the time when our Lord Jesus is going to return. Can you share with us a little bit about the significance of Jesus in your life and the expectation that you have for him coming back for his church, the bride of Christ?
Yes, yes. I can say one thing I've learned and one thing I've taken from the start of me, even I was a young girl in church, and my grandmother was a pastor, my grandfather a deacon. My whole family, we were raised in church, and somehow, I won't say I lost my way. I just did my own thing. And, you know, okay. God is so gracious and so good that, you know, I went from the church to singing in the world and then back to church again. And I think this time around, God just really showed me something different about me, and it was accountability. And that was one thing I can say I wasn't taught when I was younger, accountability in the church. And that accountability really allowed me to really start to treat people better. You know, I hate to say that, but I wasn't the nicest person, not intentionally, but I wasn't the nicest person.
Right, right.
I was young, and I was surviving in a way that most people my age weren't. I mean, I was 21 when I bought my first house. I was buying my own car. I had money, you know, just because I was in into sales and management roles at a young age. And so that caused me to kind of be a little puffed up, Ron. That's some things that people don't know about me. But it caused me to be a little puffed up, very disrespectful towards my mother. I didn't think I needed her at the time. But that's the relationship with God, it really allowed me to start identifying with the importance of honoring my mother. If I can say anything that I've gotten out of this is that honoring her has changed my life forever. I think it started there. So where the relevance is with Jesus is my life changed when I started honoring my mother. And things started opening up for me. Doors started opening up for me. Our relationship got so much better. And so I know people will want me to say, that it was, you know, it was something else, but it was really honoring. What it taught me was to honor my mother first. And it's kind of like in Matthew, seek first the kingdom and everything else would be added. But I sought the kingdom, and then what was added to me was a great relationship with my mother that changed my life forever. And so the expectation for us preparing for Jesus coming is that, you know, people really just get their hearts right. People get their hearts right, their minds right, renewing their minds on a daily basis. You know, people are going fast, Brother Ron. You know, every time you look on Facebook, there's someone that's been close to us that's just gone. And you don't know what happened or how it happened, but one thing we don't know is how they truly lived. And so I think at this point in time our lives, we have a right to choose. And then that's what my expectation is that we begin to get our hearts right.
Amen. Now, you said something about motherhood and about your relationship in your younger years of with your mother. And isn't it amazing how you kind of get what you got coming? Because now, as a mother, you were able to identify a whole lot better with what your mother was going through with you. Now that you are in that season of your life, the perspectives change quite significantly, Lady Shay, when we put someone else's shoes on our feet. Isn't that true?
That is so true. You know, when you grow up, you hear God's always going to give you double for your trouble. And so I have two daughters, 25 and 26 years old. And when I say they gave me a ride for my life and still is giving me a ride for my life, they are giving me a ride. But you know what? I remember the things that I've done to mine. And so I love that I went before them, and I can have a little bit more empathy and sympathy towards their growing pains. And my daughter, who gives me the most trouble, has two daughters of her own now. So instead of me saying God's going to give you double for your trouble, I consider them double the blessing, because I know for a fact that was what was declared over me. God's going to give you double for your trouble. And so I've learned to speak differently for my two granddaughters. But yes, so I have two, and now she has two.
Amen. I'm just so happy that God, in his wisdom, allows us to go through these different seasons, because all it really does is just temper us. It prunes us. All it really is just molding us into the people that God has already destined, purposed, and proclaimed us to be. It's just like a fire in the kiln. When the blacksmith is molding iron and shaping iron, he has to stick it in that heat, in that flame, to be able to shape it to his desire. So God allows us to go through fire, go through flames of trouble and trials, even if it's something that we brought upon ourselves. It don't always have to be the devil, but God is such a master architect over our lives. He could take anything that we get ourselves into and turn it out for our good. Woman of God,
yes.
I love your new project. Tell us about it. Tell us about me. Tell us about it.
Yeah, you know, about me, I wanted to do something a little different with this single and give people a little snippet of what I've been through. A lot of people, you know, they see what you do and they don't realize, like you said earlier in the show, that you go through trials and you go through tribulations.
Ooh.
And all they see is what
Ooh.
God has, what they see the end result. And it's not even the end. It's really the beginning, people. Like what you see is just the
Thank
beginning.
You.
But they see
yeah.
where you are and they don't understand the story. And so about me, I wanted to give a snippet of my story. And at the end, you know, you've heard the song, but at the end, I wanted to encourage people that all you have to do is just take the first step. You know, I was a young mother at
That's
the age
right.
of 16. I had my second daughter at the age of 17, and I could have given up and just died spiritually and naturally there. And I decided to move.
Yeah.
I decided to get up. I decided to go. And at the time, no, I wasn't so, you know, I wasn't so spiritual. But I believe that God was with me the whole time. And when they talk about the grandmother's
yeah.
prayer, I believe it was my grandmother's prayers that were holding me because of her being a pastor and me being raised in the church. That's why I said I turned for a second, but God never left me. And so in my younger years, having two children, I wanted people to identify with that. There are other young women out there who have children and they're young. They've given up and they think life is over. There are older women who have been through some things and they feel like life is over. So about me, although it's about me, I wanted to encourage others to just keep moving.
Amen. That's wonderful. That's wonderful. It's actually in our darkest times that we receive some of the most appropriate wisdom for our lives because we
yes.
basically have put our egos aside and all of our so-called resources, we have put them down and we have sought God from the depths mm-hmm. of our soul in such a way. At some of the dark times that I went through, I came across what is known as the Serenity Prayer. God,
yes.
give me the wisdom to accept the things that I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. As a result of that, guess what? In a moment of trying times, in a moment of deep contemplation, God gave me the humility prayer. God,
yes.
help
mm-hmm.
me,
mm-hmm.
help you, help me. I'm going to say that again.
Wow.
The humility prayer. God, help me, help you, help me. Because when you get right down to where the rubber meets the road, you're not trying to be fancy. You're not trying to be eloquent.
Yes.
You're just trying to get the necessary help that you need, woman of God. Listen, woman
yes,
of God, Shay
Sam,
right. we are so happy for you. We love you and Jesus so much, we just can't help ourselves.
I love you guys,
wisdom.
Too.
What words of wisdom would you like to leave the listening audience and me, myself, as well, before we let you get out of here and I play this new music about me?
Oh, well, look, I'm going to say it like I've always said it. Just never give up. Life is going to give us opportunities to be distracted. Life is going to throw all kind of bricks and stones, everything at you. But I encourage you to catch them all and start building. I keep telling people that life's going to throw you some really big bricks. Catch them and build a big house. That would be my encouragement for everybody who's listening tonight, including you.
Amen. I receive it. I'm going to take them bricks that they throwed at me and make me a nice mansion with a
yes.
patio and a pool. How about that?
You know, you don't even got to pay for them. Your enemies are throwing them. You know, people don't even see that. The logic in it is they're throwing them, but you're getting them for free and then building. Come on now.
I'm using them for something good. You meant it for evil, but I'm going to use it for something good.
Woo!
Lady Shay
yes,
Sam,
sir.
God bless you. Before you get out of here, I want you to share with the listening audience your project of The Red Room in case that there may be somebody out there that may want to be a special guest on your project platform, The Red Room, and how they can tune in to check you out more because you have amazing guests and wonderful conversation. Tell us about The Red Room.
Yes, sir, and you were one of the amazing guests that we've had, so you have to catch one of your episodes as well. But The Red Room is on Comcast, the DeKalb County here in Atlanta, Georgia, on BronxNet in New York. You can catch it every Thursday at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. You can also find it on YouTube at Shea Samuels, The Red Room. If you want to be a host, you would need to reach into Jerry Voice Live at gmail.com, or you can reach into me at Shea Samuels as well. Yeah, so that's where you can catch it. But every Thursday at 10 a.m. on DeKalb County, YouTube, Facebook Live, it does come on the Jerry Voice Live. Go ahead and connect with him on Facebook as well. You'll see myself and a number of other media hosts as well.
Amen. And how can you be reached for speaking engagements and share your social media contacts so that my listeners can follow you on social media? And where can this anointed music of yours be downloaded?
No problem. You can find me everywhere on Beyond the Fence. That's B-E-Y-O-N-D-A-F-E-N-C-E. You can find me at beyondthefence.org, on YouTube, Beyond the Fence, officially Shea Samuels on Instagram, Shea Samuels on Facebook, Beyond the Fence on Instagram as well. And you can get the music where you get all your other favorite artists' music from on all digital outlets, Rhapsody, Spotify, iTunes, Tidal, YouTube, you name it, it's there.
Y'all see that? That's a professional woman right there. She came ready, prepared, and equipped to share that information. So hook up with my girl, Shea Sam. Make it a kingdom collaboration. I promise you, you'll be blessed with the association because that's what we do. Shout out to our mutual friend, Jerry Royce Live over there at Positive Power 21 Christian Media for all the wonderful work that he does with us. He's just a beautiful man. If you're looking for a platform, y'all need to get in touch with Jerry Royce. He's on Facebook, Jerry Royce Live, Positive Power 21 Christian Media. He's the first person 4 years ago that syndicated Fire the Gospel Experience, and I've been with him all this time, and I ain't going nowhere. Lady Shay, thank you, woman of God. We bless you. We love you, Jesus. Keep doing what you're doing.
Thank you so much. You keep doing what you're doing, and we love you as well.
Woo, woo, Shay Sam in the house. That's what we do. We keep it real. While we are blowing up in Jesus, Jesus is blowing us up. Isn't that a beautiful thing? I promise you it sure is.
Hello, I'm Shea Samuels, and you are listening to Fire, the gospel explosion where the praises are going up, playing for you the best and newest gospel music on the planet and the most inspiring encouragement under God's heaven. I pray that my music and song, I Choose to Worship, will uplift your spirits and give you new strength to be the kingdom builder that God has created you to be. Keep it tuned in and bless your family, friends, and coworkers by telling them about Fire on this station.
There's so many times in life that you question what God has for you. You know, for every purpose there's a plan. Well, I was that way too. And one day I just decided to move. And I encourage you to do the same thing as I tell you a little bit about me.
17 with two babies outside, nearly had me going crazy outside. I never thought I'd see the sunshine again, so I just kept on pushing, but you gave me life, you gave me hope, you gave me everything. You gave me life, you gave me hope, this is the song I sang. About the age of 27, I knew what I would be, what people didn't see. Growing up in this cold, cold world, walking around with so much shame.
I wasn't popular in high school.
People barely even knew my name.
But you,
you gave me life.
You gave me life.
You gave me hope.
You gave me hope.
You gave me everything.
Everything.
You gave me life.
You gave me life.
You gave me hope.
You gave me hope.
You gave me everything.
Always thought we had it made by the clothes we wore, but she just kept on pushing us. She knew that there was so much in store. 17 with two babies, nearly had me going crazy. I never thought I'd see the sunshine again, so I just kept on. I'm pushing, but you, you gave me life, you gave me hope, you gave me everything. You gave me life, you gave me hope, this is the song I sing. I always knew life could be this good, just didn't know how I would get there. I always knew life could be this good, just didn't know how I would get there.
What's going on, family? What's going on? This is Jerry Rusloff Worldwide, a.k.a. the Batman from Charm City, Maryland, and you're listening to Fire, the Gospel Experience with Ron E. Jefferson, right here on Positive Power, XXI Christian Media.
I'm closing the door to all of my sins. New chapter begins. Tell my friends that I'm coming out from what I've been. Wasted my time. How could I be so blind? Compromising with my life. And I knew it wasn't right. I keep on telling myself I don't want to do wrong. But every time I turn around, I'm starting over, and I'm doing it God's way. No stumbling block, no quick block gonna get in my way.
This is it,
yeah.
I'm letting it go.
I'm tired, so tired.
This is it.
I'm letting it go.
Put my hands
is it right here, talking about Man of God, Rob Forte, Little Rock, Arkansas's very own, with a hit song that is climbing the Billboard charts and blessing our souls all at the same time. This is it. That means I am giving you, dear God, everything that I have possession in my mind and in my spirit. I'm giving it all to you, God. This is it. It's final. It's uncompromising. And I want to make it a special offering to you to receive as your humble servant. Thank you, man of God, Rob Forte. We are embracing from the word of God from Romans, the 5th chapter, verse 21, where we are talking about let it rain. The word of God says from the NIV, that as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. There's an old saying, y'all know how I love them old sayings, but that says when it rains, it pours. Well, if that's the case and true for our weather conditions, then I believe that it also can be equally true when it comes to another rain, and that is rain, R-E-I-G-N, and not the water rain, or what and who sits on the throne to reign over our hearts, head, and emotions, culminating in our activities. The Apostle Paul, as always, states the deeper truth of this particular matter of sin and grace. Romans 5 and 21 says that as sin hath reigned unto death. Now, what born-again believer in Christ Jesus can deny how we were all held down as hostages at some point in our thought life, habit, lifestyle, and impulsiveness that had absolutely nothing to do with God, but had everything to do with us feeding some inner pleasures, attempting to satisfy a hunger and a thirst that only wanted more and more, to only never be satisfied, leading us further and further into a darkness devoid of God and anything associated with godliness. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, which reads from Romans, the 5th chapter, the first verse that starts this discussion off. The apostle informs us believers that our gratitude for the grace of God being imparted to all of our personal eternal accounts should be our chiefest motivation. We are people that have been justified in the sight of the omniscient eyesight of the Almighty One. Jesus paid a price, y'all, that he didn't even deserve. Just as we receive this gift of forgiveness that we could never pay for. This is just the beginning of letting the rain of God to fall on us. Romans 5 and 9 says, since we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? Our justification should never ever make us cocky, as if we are the ones that somehow precipitated this grace in where we now stand. No, when we allow the reign of God over our lives, we live and walk in the ways of humility, knowing full well that we are blessed beyond anything and in any way far from what we deserve. Romans 5 and 11 reads, not only is this so, but we also boast in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. So as the rain of God pours out on us with the precious gift of justification, we now see the abundant overflow of the now evident gift also of reconciliation, meaning that there are no more barriers or partitions between God and us. Isn't that beautiful? Isn't that refreshing to know that nothing now stands between us because we have been redeemed by our great kinsman redeemer, the Lord Jesus, the Christ himself, the only one who paid our sin debt and made us to be in right and good standing with God the Father.
as if we had never even sinned at all, just as the pure, sinless life that our Savior Jesus himself lived. Romans 5 and 12 says, therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man, and death through sin, and in this way, death came to all people because all sinned. Now listen, the Bible declares that, not me, that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, Romans 3 and 23. And you best believe that when sin showed up, sin also showed up, whipping our spiritual behinds real good and taking names, asking anyone who dares, who's got next. We were all yoked and bound in one way or another. And many of us were sick and tired of being sick and tired, but stuck and helplessly so. Romans 5 and 18 and 19 reads, consequently, just as one trespass resulted in condemnation for all people, so also one righteous act resulted in justification and life for all people. For just as through the disobedience of the one man that many were made sinners, so also through the obedience of the one man that many will be made righteous. We have to understand there is a history. The sin of our original forefather, Adam's disobedience, was spiritually, genetically passed down to all of us, humankind. But as some have called our Lord Jesus the second Adam, he, Jesus, began a new reign over our lives and the consequences of our past unsaved lives. And then, finally, Romans 5 and 21, even so, my grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. With this knowledge of our redemption through our Lord Jesus, we now yield to the rule and reign of God over, in, and through our lives as light, shining bright in this dark world of humankind that we live in. But you are a chosen people, says Peter, the apostle, in 1 Peter 2:9, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Hallelujah. That makes me get happy just reading that right there. Just thinking about that part right there, right there. We are called as special people of God, a chosen people, a royal priesthood, if you will. And then further on in the word of God, listen, not only from a royalty position place in the kingdom of God on earth, but also from an evangelistic place in God. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, says the Apostle Paul to the Corinthian church in 2 Corinthians 5 and 20. As though God were making his appeal through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. But we are all called to tell the souls of this world of the saving gospel of our Lord Jesus, to tell of his life, death, and resurrection, and how all of this affects their eternal destination, to inform them all of the judgment of God, but of his reign where love, forgiveness, and eternal blessings and eternal life begins now when we follow Romans 10 and 9, which says, if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. Praise the Lord and thank the Lord God Almighty for that precious promise and those precious words. It blesses me every single time I read them. I just want to give a shout out to all you fathers again. Be blessed on this special Father's Day. I want to thank my special guest, former NFL player, lawyer, Alpha Phi Alpha fraternity brother, and judge-elect for the 4th Division Circuit Court of Jefferson and Lincoln County, man of God, Jackie Harris, on this fire gospel experience. Also got to give a shout out
sending much love and appreciate to woman of God, Shay Sands, for coming in and being such a vibrant woman of God, such a useful vessel in the kingdom of God with all of her ministry works going on. Bless you, Shay Sands. Keep doing your thing in Jesus. I want to leave you all with this final word. What we hear in the news isn't new. Our Lord Jesus said all of these things that are happening now would all happen the way they're happening over 2,000 years ago. Isn't that something? And people still trying to act like the Bible don't mean nothing. Well, we're going to keep praying for them because they lost and confused. So until next time, y'all be blessed. I'm just having an Arkansas party right here with all of these talented and anointed people. And I would just like to leave you all with another woman of God doing her thing for Jesus. Lord have mercy, I promise you. These talented and gifted people of God are doing their thing strong. You ought to know that these are the people of God that are just being a blessing to everyone that they have the opportunity to minister to. So you all be blessed in the Lord Jesus. I'm praying that God will bless you, keep you, cover you, and use you to your greatest potential. Here's woman of God, Amanda Catrice. Because once you know the love of God, you'll realize that there is no other love. So God loves me just like that. Y'all be blessed in Jesus. Hallelujah.
Ain't no pride when I proclaim that to bless me is his thing. He just loved me like that. Loved me like that. Confident, but I ain't haughty. Ain't no need for being salty. He just loved me like that. Loved me like that. I've been through all types of weather. Watch my life just come together. Who am I? Am I special? He said,
you can try to get it on.